דייב קרול הוא זמר ויוצר מוערך. הוא מומחה לחדשנות במדיה החברתית. ב-2009, לאחר שנתקל בשירות לקוחות מאכזב מצד חברת התעופה United Airlines, הוא לקח את הכישרון והתשוקה שלו למוזיקה, ויצר 3 שירים וסרטוני וידאו שמתארים את החוויה שלו. בתוך ימים ספורים, מעל 500,000 איש צפו בסרטון הראשון שלו, והמניה של חברת United Airlines איבדה $180 מיליון מערכה. הסרטון שיצר, שנקרא United Breaks Guitars, הוגדר על ידי גוגל כאחד מהסרטונים החשובים ביותר בהיסטוריה שלהם. הסרטונים שהוא פרסם הפכו לתופעה כלל עולמית ועוררו מיליוני צרכנים בכל העולם לדרוש מהחברות שירות הולם. חברות בכל רחבי העולם התעוררו אף הן לחשיבות של כל הכוח שהן משרתות והפכו מודעות יותר לכוח העצום של המדיה החברתית ושל המיצוב שלהם. לדייב יש יכולת ייחודית לזקק מסרים מדויקים לתוך שירים ומוזיקה. הוא גם מרצה מבוקש, מייסד חברת סטארט-אפ וסופר. המסר של דייב מייצג את הכוח שיש לאדם הבודד בעולמנו כיום, והוא מהווה תזכורת חשובה לכך שכולנו מחוברים, ולכוח העצום שיש לנו כחברה להפוך את העולם למקום שטוב יותר לחיות בו. האזינו לרעיון שקיימתי עם דייב, שהוא משתף בו את הסיפור שמאחורי United Breaks Guitars, שהפך לתופעה כלל עולמית, והיה אחד מעשרת הסרטונים הוויראליים המובילים בעולם ב-2009. מה המשמעות לחיות בעולם של היום שמושפע כל כך מהמדיה החברתית? מה הכוח שיש לאדם הבודד כיום? כיצד עסקים צריכים להשתנות כדי להתאים את עצמם לעולם של היום, ואיך הם יכולים להעניק ללקוחות שלהם שירות וחוויה יוצאי דופן? כל אלה בפרק שלפניכם, האזנה נעימה, ואני מזכיר לכם לא לפספס גם להיכנס לאתר כסף-טוב.biz לפרק, ולקרוא שם ולצפות שם ברעיונות נוספים שדייב נתן בהרצאת TED שלו ובמידע נוסף. האזנה נעימה.
שלום וברוכים הבאים לפודקאסט כסף טוב, שיחות עם יזמים ועסקים המשנים את העולם. העסקים בעולם החדש פועלים בצורה שונה. הם מגדירים מחדש את כללי המשחק. הם מונעים מתוך תשוקה, להט וייעוד גבוה. על כל אלו ועוד תוכלו לשמוע כאן בפודקאסט כסף טוב, שבו ערן שטרן מראיין את האנשים שמפתחים עסקים שעושים טוב בעולם.
ערב טוב לכולם, שלום וברוכים הבאים, כאן ערן שטרן, ואני שמח מאוד לפתוח את הרעיון הנוסף שלנו במסגרת הרעיונות של עם מנהיגים שמשנים את העולם. והערב אני מאוד 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 שמח ומתרגש לראיין כאן את דייב קרול. היי דייב.
Hello, how are you, Aaron?
Hi, hi. So I'll just finish the Hebrew introduction and we'll continue. אז באמת למי שלא מכיר, דייב קרול הוא זמר ויוצר מוערך וגם מומחה לחדשנות במדיה החברתית. הסיפור שלו בעצם החל, הסיפור של הפרסום שלו בעצם החל ב-2009, כשהוא נתקל בשירות לקוחות מאוד מאוד מאכזב מחברת United Airlines אחרי שהם שברו את הגיטרה שלו. והוא לקח בעצם את הכישרון שלו, את היכולות שלו, את האהבה שלו למוזיקה, ובעצם ייצר שיר שמספר את האכזבה שהוא חש מהחברה הזו. השיר הזה הפך להיות בעצם תופעה כלל עולמית, והפך להיות אחד מעשרת הסרטונים הוויראליים ביותר ב-2009, ואחד ממה שגוגל הגדירו אחר כך כבאמת את הסרטונים החשובים ביותר בהיסטוריה שלהם, של גוגל עצמם. ובעצם אני חושב שהמסר של דייב מייצג את הכוח שיש לאדם הבודד ואיך בעולם שלנו, ואנחנו נתחיל. So, hi Dave. I'm sure you got some of the words I just said.
None, nothing.
Nothing. So, you know, as I just told you before, I'm following your story for a couple of years now. I really was inspired by, you know, what's happened with the United Breaks Guitars video and what you did. You know, I'm talking a lot about people having their passions and, you know, and their purpose on this world. And, you know, your case just demonstrates how you took your passion and, you know, used it and created something which I thought was just phenomenal. And so maybe we can start, you know, for those who don't really know what we're talking about and the whole backstory of, you know, what is happening with United Breaks Guitars.
Hey, well, I'm a Canadian. I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm originally from Timmins, Ontario, which is about 8 hours drive north of Toronto. So small town. And my brother Don and I, we started a band 25 years ago, named after our father, Max. So we called the band Sons of Maxwell. And we were an indie artist, I guess you'd call us. And so that meant we didn't have the backing of a major label. We were just doing what we love to do. We were professional musicians, and we got to travel all over the world doing what we love to do. So in that sense, we were very successful, but it was always a challenge as independent artists face to try and build your career. And so we had done a lot of touring, had a lot of fun, and we had this opportunity once to go to Nebraska. The University of Nebraska is the arts presenter for the state, so they asked us if we wanted to go and play 6 or 7 shows throughout the state of Nebraska. And we said certainly, and on March 31st, 2008, we got on board a United Airlines flight, and we flew to Omaha, Nebraska by way of Chicago. And I'd never flown United before. It was ironically my first time with them. And they took all of our instruments and put them in the belly of the plane. They said we couldn't carry them on board. And so we got to Chicago, and we were sitting on the plane ready to get off and get on our connector flight. And there was a woman that was sitting behind our bass player, Mike Hiltz, on the side of the plane. And she looked outside the window when we were on the tarmac and said, "Oh my God, they're throwing guitars outside." And so at that point, I knew that something bad had happened to some of our instruments. And so I got off and I tried to talk to 3 people right at the airport, and none of them wanted to help me. They were all either not empowered or didn't seem to care, and sort of sent us on our way. And when we got to Omaha, we saw that our guitars were there and the cases looked okay. And I had actually 2 guitars with me, and one of them, my Taylor guitar that I bought for $3,500, when I really didn't have that much money to spend. I had to borrow and do some stuff to get that guitar. It had a nice hard shelled case, but I had a soft sort of nylon foamy case to surround that. And so I put my hand inside to between the 2 cases, and I didn't feel any damage, but we had to get to our hotel. So we ended up all just taking our instruments and luggage, went to sleep for like 3 hours, and then got up and drove to our first gig. And when we got to our gig, we opened up our guitar cases, and one of my 2 guitars, the Taylor guitar, was the only one that was damaged out of anybody's, but it was really badly damaged. And so I knew that United wasn't going to just give me money for this guitar. And at that point, it hadn't even been looked at by anybody. But it turns out that I tried to get them to take responsibility for what ultimately was a $1,200 repair for about 9 months, and they wouldn't do it. And after about 9 months of me trying, somebody from United and I had an exchange by email, a customer service rep. And she said that because I didn't open a claim within 24 hours, the airline's policy was that they weren't responsible. And so they said they were going to walk away and do nothing. And I decided that maybe I should do something else about it. And that's when the idea of getting musical about it came to pass. Over the next 7 months, I whittled away at it. It wasn't something that I just jumped into. I made the airline a promise that I would make 3 videos about my experience and make each song a little different, and try and get it on YouTube and get as many people just to watch and see what happened and just share my frustrations. And so the first of the 3 videos went up on Monday, July 6th at 11:30 p.m. And 30 minutes later that night, I had about 6 hits. And I thought all 6 of those were mine. And it turns out that social media had already started to work for me, but I didn't realize that because I'd sent out 2 messages. One to everybody in my Facebook account, which was about 400 people. And keep in mind, in 2009, this was the glory days of Facebook, where you could send all your friends a message and they would get it as a personal message at that time. And everybody in my Outlook Express got a message as well. And it just said, "United broke my guitar, watch this video." And the next morning I had 300 hits and 5,000 by lunchtime and 25,000 by dinner time. And my goal was to get 1 million hits in the next year with all 3 videos combined, because I thought it would probably take me 3 videos to do that. Turns out I got 1 million in 4 days, and it became a worldwide media frenzy. It became very, it resonated with a whole bunch of people, I guess. And so it just changed my life instantly at that point.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, everyone who's watching this movie can relate to the story and relate to the frustration that, you know, customers are having, you know, especially big companies and, you know, that are not taking responsibilities for things that, you know, they should take. And, you know, as I said, it's really demonstrated the power of one, you know, what it can do, especially these days. And, you know, I would love to hear some of your insights about that. You know, how are we as you know, as individuals can really really make a difference, because I think what your video did was really making a difference, because it enforced companies to start looking at you know, at how they do customer service in a better way.
One of the first things I noticed in the early days, like in the first 2 weeks of this happening, I received probably 10,000 email from people all over the world, and they were saying things like congratulations. There was a lot of sort of support behind it and saying, congratulations, you're doing something good for customers. Don't take the money that they're going to be offering you, because you're doing something good for us. But then they also would share a story, and it told me right away that everybody, whether it was an airline story or not, this was a conversation starter for bad customer service, and that this really struck a chord with people across the world, because everybody has had a bad airline story or at least a customer service story. And it also told me that up until then, at least, that people felt that they didn't have a voice, and they felt disempowered by companies who are bullies or forcing them to go through channels and weed the ones that didn't have the fight to continue, just make them peel off. And so I got a lot of encouragement from people, but it also at that point told me that we're in a different time now, that social media allows people with relative ease to get a message out and share it with people all over the world, and in a profound way. And that if you're creative and think outside the box, you can really have an idea that catches fire. And that was a wake up call for companies. Apparently BBC News and The Economist reported that my video was responsible for $180 million market cap drop in United stock. And that's when it really became relevant. It wasn't just another cat flushing the toilet on YouTube. It now was something very, very relevant, because businesses' bottom line could be affected by one customer. And that's when it instantly became a game changer.
I think that, you know, one question that probably everyone is asking you, and I will ask it also to the benefits of people listening. So I guess at a certain point in time, then United, you know, woke up and understood that, you know, they're in trouble, or, you know, that this video is really causing them, you know, to look bad. And, you know, how was your experience with them changed after that? You know, I'm sure they approached you.
They did. They keep in mind that when the guitar got broken, up until they said they would never fix it, that was 9 months. And then another 7 months went by before I made the video and released it. So after that 7 month period, that second period, and then 4 days later, the day it hit a million was the day we talked on the telephone. And that's when they offered me the $1,200 that I'd spent on fixing that guitar. As they didn't use the word compensation, but they said it's regretful what happened. They didn't say I'm sorry. That was one thing I noticed. They didn't apologize. They just said it's regretful. And that's one of the insights, I guess, in the first 10 seconds of this, was that companies should just sometimes apologize if they're in the wrong, because sorry is the least expensive solution to many of your problems. If you just honestly say you're sorry, and then where do we go from here? And we spoke on the phone that day, and I explained that these videos, the trilogy of videos that would be coming their way, it wasn't a negotiation tactic to try and get something out of the airline. It was more of a promise, me keeping my promise. When they said they weren't going to do anything, I said, I'm going to make 3 videos. And that's what I was intending on doing. And as I said, all those people were emailing at the time saying, don't accept the compensation, you know, hold true to your word. And so that's kind of what I did. And we haven't really talked about compensation again after that. They had offered me $1,200 in cash. And for some reason they said, $1,200 in flight vouchers. I'd asked for the flight vouchers, so that's what they offered. But then they also added $1,200 in cash. And that's when I said no to that. And they gave $3,500 to a charity, a music school in the United States in my name. So that was something. But we never really talked about compensation again.
And I read one of the things of the story I read is that the company who actually built the original guitar, they were quicker to offer you a replacement guitar, right?
Two guitars. Taylor Guitar is the company, and people that play, you know, higher end instruments, you can argue that Taylor's better than Fender or something like that. But I liked that guitar. I chose that one when I went to buy a guitar that day. And people love Taylor guitars for different reasons, and so they appreciated the publicity that was coming their way, and they felt sorry for me, I guess. So they invited me out to California with my friend Julian, and we got a tour of the plant and got to see how they make these great guitars. And then at the end of the day, they took me into a nice big room that had all of the guitars that Taylor makes on a wall. And they just said, take your time and pick two when you're done. So they gave me two brand new guitars. And that was definitely a highlight.
Yeah. And you know, I think it also demonstrates, you know, that, you know, the difference between, you know, how companies behave, you know, in terms of seeing like a failure or a problem, you know, either like as a problem or as an opportunity, you know, because they definitely saw the opportunity.
Well, that, yes, and that's, again, a key takeaway from all of this is that both United and Taylor had the opportunity to take something bad that happened to me and turn it into profit for their company, but United missed the opportunity. Taylor did what they call newsjacking, and they said, you know, there's all this positive publicity. What can we do to help ourselves? And so I don't ever say that my video dropped United stock or helped Taylor. Both those companies had the opportunity to decide how they were going to respond to that. So a boost in sales or a drop in sales or market cap is completely the by choice of those companies. And so Taylor, they had their best year ever. I think just a couple of years ago, they were sales were up 25% in a recession, wow, on a discretionary item like a guitar. And United had that experience. So, yeah.
So this video goes out and, you know, your life is changing, right? And you're now not only a singer and a musician, you know, also speak about how people or how companies should do customer service, right?
Yeah, well, the customer service angle is kind of an obvious one. I, as the voice of the customer, I think I can speak credibly on that. But what I've learned in the last few years is I'm a business person too. And I have a business mind, and I have customers who aren't always happy with maybe a CD is broken or something like that. I'm solving problems all the time too, but I think companies need to understand the big picture and not either ignore customers and think we'll own the message, or silo customer service as some sort of division that's like the dirty niece or cousin that you don't ever talk about anymore, you know. I think companies need to think more holistically and understand the connection, because everything is connected. I've realized that as a musician for all these years. I've played shows where there's been people from all over the world. You wouldn't think these people would ever be in the same room together, but music brings people together. And it reminds me that not only are people connected, but so is everything. So your business, if you have a business, you need to care about your suppliers and your managers and your employees and your customers equally. Because if one element is not happy, you're unbalanced as a company. So when it comes to that part of my message in my speeches these days, the importance of storytelling is really key. You need to be very congruent when you're telling stories these days and make sure the story for your leaders is as relevant as the story for your customers, and that everybody could be in the same room hearing that story and not feel like they're hearing two different ones.
Right. So, you know, social media is probably one of the things that, you know, made this video, you know, what it is. And even, today, even probably much more than it was back in 2009. So what does it mean in your perspective to live and to compete in today's social media driven world?
Well, as I started with, social media is a real game changer, because now people can reach people all over the world with a message. And if you're creative, you can cut through. But the sell for companies to actually become more competitive and use social media is easier or harder depending on their perspective. And if your perspective as a business owner is that social media is going to be the death of your brand, that means you have a perspective that your customers are out to hurt you, or you're vulnerable at all times. Other companies see social media as an opportunity. And so those companies are going to do things that are more adventurous maybe and more inclusive. They're going to ask for people to come and give their input and take that input and turn it into data that they can action on. And the other company will fear them. And that fear-based perspective will hold them back from being innovative and inclusive at a time when customers have never been more interested in having their being communicated with on their cell phone if they want, or by email, whatever channel they choose. That's the way companies need to respond today. And there's technologies that are there. But the companies that are adopting those technologies to make themselves more connected to their customers and give their customers more choice will be the relevant ones going forward.
Right. So, So in terms of like, let's look at the other angle from the business perspective. So if I'm a business and I get, I live in this world with all social media and with customers being able to say anything and, you know, to raise their voices, how should I as a business should, prepare for this? Because it could be also very threatening to be from the business perspective that anyone can, you know, shame you or say anything about you. Something might be right, something might be wrong, so from the business perspective, how do you think businesses should prepare for that?
Well, I think today businesses have to definitely be listening and engaging in social media. And again, there are tools. I'm involved with a company right here in Halifax that called LifeRaft. And LifeRaft is a social media monitoring tool geared more towards security companies or education to hear what people are saying, to identify threats. But those tools are essential. And there are many, many business tools that allow you just to hear what your customers are saying. And if you're going to ignore that and just put your head in the sand, you're really vulnerable because you won't ever hear the conversation. And before you can solve anything, you need to know what people are saying about you. Not everything your people will say online will be pleasant about your brand, but you do have the opportunity to engage and have your story heard. So once again, listening is important, but your storytelling is also very important. If you want to own the story, you have to be a better storyteller, and it has to be authentic. So if you have a bunch of customers who are upset about some specific issue, you can't come in and try and, with your storytelling, deflect attention to something else. You have to engage, you have to admit that there's an issue, and then tell your side of the story and explain why it happened, what you're going to do to solve it going forward, and make it right with the customer so that it diffuses the situation. Because if there are two sides in conflict, if both sides are digging in, that's where the conflict arises. It's when you don't push back and you allow a customer to say, I'm upset with you, and you say, I'm sorry, that instantly it's way better than it would have been.
So I think there's also an opportunity here, because if you are able to listen to what your customers are saying, you can find opportunities for maybe, new improvements or even new products or services that you can offer them, or to really understand what they need from you as a business.
That's right. Most businesses have still these silos. You've got the customer service, you've got the marketing, you've got sales, and marketing is a relatively small number of people who are thinking great ways to promote a product. Why wouldn't you ask everyone in your organization, or what if there's somebody in the world that has a better idea? There was a great example a few years back that I heard about where you probably recall the Exxon Valdez when it cracked and opened in Alaska and all the oil went everywhere, about 20 years ago now. They couldn't reclaim the oil. The oil sort of fell to the seabed, and oil in cold water turns to sort of like liquid cement. And so they couldn't reclaim all this oil, and it's horrible for the environment. And so they sort of put it out with social media to anyone in the world who had a better solution after all these years to do something. And somebody in the middle of nowhere put some thought to it, and they came up with a solution on how to reclaim this oil after all these years. And it's great for the environment. And oil now at the time was like $100 a barrel. When it sank, it was 25. So they're pulling up oil that's worth way more money now. It's better for the environment, all because they asked someone who wasn't employed with the company, but just someone for a good idea. And that's what social media is for companies that see it as an opportunity rather than a threat.
Yeah, that's interesting. So now with all of this happening and with all this more awareness of how social media is impacting us, are there also more things that companies can do, like proactively, not just, in terms of crisis, but also in terms of, using customers more as partners to their business? I recall I read an interesting survey. I'm not sure if you heard about it. It's called Marketing 2020. I think it was published like 2 years ago. It like trying to predict how marketing world will look like in 2020. And one of the main trends that they identified is they talked about that today more and more companies are using customers not as us versus them, but more we are together in, you know, like developing new products and new services and so on. Do you mm-hmm. see this as also an opportunity?
Well, that's a good point. When you said us as in them, that's very much what I focus on these days, and just decreasing the us's and them's, just make it just the us's. And that's where the opportunity lies. And there are companies that one that comes to mind is a company called Flamingo, started by a female woman entrepreneur from Australia named Katrina Wallace. She's now based in the US with her company. And Flamingo is a software tool that allows companies to offer a scalable way to let customers customize their experience with the company. And because it's one thing to invite people to choose whatever they want, but you have to be able to scale that. And so these tools are allowing these companies that take advantage of Flamingo software to up their service levels, reduce the churn, fewer people will leave, and they're making, according to their analysis, about 20% more than they would have if they didn't. So not only are they making more money, but they're making it at success at the expense of the companies who are going to not take part in these software advances. And those companies will become relevant. So they'll pick up a lot more business when other companies fail who don't. It's so important.
Yes. Do you have, David, maybe, you know, from your experience, and I know that you probably from your case, you get a lot of like case studies of companies who really change their attitude versus other, you know, customer service. Do you have any insights from that or anything that, you know, you saw that was happening in the, you know, lately?
Do you mean companies that were one way and are changing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just know a little bit about Flamingo. I know a little bit more because Katrina Wallace is a good friend of mine, but she's taking this technology into the insurance industry. So the big, huge industries that require a lot of care and that use big data and are getting on board with this new technology to, number one, find out what people want and what kind of policies would work or not, so that they can know in advance before they take them to market and waste a lot of money on something that's not going to go. I'm sort of interested too in companies that are starting from scratch with the right attitude. And companies like Tom's Shoes, they're a great example. When you buy a pair of Tom's Shoes, they give a pair of shoes to somebody else, new shoes, to somebody else in the world who can't afford them maybe. And that sort of pay it forward mentality is ingrained. It's part of the DNA of the company. And that's where companies are going in the future, I think.
Nice. Very nice. So and any more insights you have, you know, from the way you look at businesses today and from the opportunities in this all social media driven world?
I think the success of any company today in a socially driven world will depend on their outlook. If they see it as something to be worried about, as a danger or an opportunity. I was speaking at an event, and there was a lot of business leaders there. And one came up to me after, and he said, "I don't think any of this social media stuff matters to me." And I said, "Well, what business are you in?" And he says, "Well, we're a B2B organization. We ship oil around the world in our ships, and I think their sales were something $600 million. And I used that Exxon Valdez example. I said, "Do you not think that if you have a ship that breaks open and spills oil all throughout some part of the ocean tomorrow, that everyone won't know your name and everyone won't be holding your company accountable? You need to know what people are saying and have a social media strategy in place to listen and communicate to people very effectively. And there's some simple tools just to get started, but a company that size should really have a social media division." And for that person, he had a sort of a fearful approach to it. And I think it'd be wise if companies jump in with both feet.
So you also mentioned that you talked about businesses that are doing things for the greater good, you know, that they have like an extra added value rather than just selling the product or the service. Yeah. I'm also a big advocate for what I call purposeful businesses, you know, businesses with a purpose, not just, you know, making money is not bad, but not just for the sake of making money. I would imagine that businesses like that have more opportunity in, you know, how our world is changing for what we just talked about. What's your take on that?
I think if you believe that storytelling is important at all, then companies like that have the advantage over companies that don't put a purpose into the DNA of why they exist as a company. If you care about other people, I think that will resonate with people. Very rarely do any of us, I think, just see a price between two products and choose the lower price if there's another option available. All things being equal, if you had the choice between a company A that is helping someone in the world or company B that offers the same product but nothing else, you're probably going to go with company A. And I think more important now, people want to know who they're doing business with, even as a customer. And I would rather buy something from a company that treats their employees well, where you hear about how happy they are to go to work every day and how well they treat their suppliers, and than the opposite. When you hear about companies that they're selling, say, clothing in North America, but it's made in a sweatshop in Malaysia or somewhere like that, it sort of makes you not want to buy those clothes anymore. And so I think companies, rather than maybe just trying to do a retrofit to their company and say, we're going to sponsor mental health awareness, but everyone in their company is going slowly crazy because of the working conditions, there's a disconnect there. It's not congruent. And so companies, I think, have to be from top to bottom congruent with the story that they're projecting. That story has to be the same one that everybody else is telling. And with social media, you're going to be held accountable today like never before, because people talk and people are smart.
Yeah, it's you know, being really authentic and you know, walking your talk and not just presenting one thing and doing the other thing.
Yeah, let me close the curtain here. It's getting a little shiny.
Okay. So we talked a lot about big companies, and you know, and I want, maybe we can talk about also what do small businesses can do about it, because many of my customers and the people who will be watching that will also be more like small business owners, and you know, they don't necessarily have the resources that like big companies. And I'm sure that there are also opportunities for them as well.
Oh, there certainly are. If anything, maybe small businesses have the advantage, because it used to be maybe only the most wealthy companies could afford the budgets necessary to make something, some sort of commercial or advertising campaign that could grab the attention of people. But in my case, $150 is all I had to make that first video. And it's been
$150 for the United Wakes Guitar first video?
Yes. And because everyone donated their time, right? And
the full cast of it, and you know, many guitars being thrown away. And
yeah, everybody came together, my friends, and the people who shot the film are professional filmmakers, but they donated their time for the day. And the acting is really horrible in the video, because those are my friends and they're not actors, and I couldn't afford real actors. But the point, I guess, is that today cost really isn't a factor. You're only limited by your own creativity. So you can get a lot done with some pretty inexpensive tools and reach a lot of people and have a lot of fun doing it. And people will buy into what they see on screen. If they can tell you're enjoying it and you're passionate about it, and it's authentic from the heart, that's where you're reaching people. It's not from the head, the cerebral side. It's from the heart side. So small businesses, I think, as I say, have a real opportunity. You just have to be creative, understand maybe who your audience is, what you want to achieve, and find a way to say your message in a way that no one's really said it before. And that's not hard. You just have to tweak it a little bit to find the sweet spot. And most of all, I say content is still king, and your content has to be rock solid. It doesn't have to be expensive. But for instance, if you were doing a video outside, you would want to not have the wind blowing on your microphone so that you can't hear the audio, or don't let the camera be too shaky. Make sure that if you're asking someone to spend 3 minutes of their life watching something you've done, make sure that it's something you'd want to watch yourself. And that sort of rule of thumb, I think, gives you the advantage, not the guarantee, but the advantage that they might.
So I see here on the questions that people are coming back for the $150 for the United Breaks Guitars video. And the script for this video is brilliant for, in my mind, you know, did you write it?
The what?
The script for the video.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. We had, I wrote the song first and I wanted you can only write one thing at a time, right? So I said, the first song will be the story chronologically. This is what happened. And the lyrics are very, very truthful, but the video is wildly exaggerated. So, but the lyrics came together pretty quickly. And, once my musician friends donated their time, we made a good sounding record. And then I contacted my friends in the film business and they said, we'll donate a day for you. And so we had all those pieces together and I made a list of, on a piece of paper, like 30 ideas. And we just one or two takes at the most, no rehearsals, just bang, 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 went down the list. And we shot it in like 6 hours and had a great time.
You could really tell that you were enjoying it while, you know, watching the video.
Yeah, you can see a few points where we're sort of about to start laughing our heads off, and it cuts to a scene because we did start laughing our heads off, and we tried to be somewhat professional.
So what happened when the second and the third video went out? You know, obviously from publicity point, you know, you didn't really need it, I guess, the second and third video, right?
Yeah. They say the first cut's always the deepest, and so the first one's been the workhorse. If you've heard about United Breaks Guitars, it's probably because of that one, not the other two. And
I must say that I actually for a couple of years I didn't know that there was second and third video. I just wrote on my blog like a year and a half ago about your story, and then I found out that there were two more.
Yeah, well, we wanted to do like a trilogy and have the three perspectives represented. And so the first song is about what happened to my guitar. The second song is sort of an examination of my relationship with the customer service representative whose policies prevented her and I from being best friends. And so in the video, you see she and I having a three-legged race at a picnic and things like that. And then the final video sort of wraps it up and basically says that I'm done writing my three songs, but if the airline doesn't change, there's going to be a lot of other people who will be upset as well. The second and third video, the numbers, I think I think the second video is around 2 million hits, and the third one is maybe getting close to 1 million, I'm not sure. So the numbers went quite a bit down. But as an artist, though, I like the trilogy. To me, it's like Star Wars Part 1, 2, and 3, right? You got to watch all three to get the sense of what's going on there.
And lately, you know, actually, what triggered this interview between us was a latest video that you just just shot and you know, sent out was for the kids, which is also like you can say about the bad customer's experience, right?
Well, it is. It's these type of things that everybody's busy today, and who has time to jump through the hoops that people make you jump through? So in this case, I've got two children, 6 and 3, and one of them's the older one's in the first grade here in Canada, and the school was inviting parents to volunteer to go on these excursions, and I wanted to do that, and they said all parents have to have their criminal records checked, which I could understand and support. And so you had to pay some money, and then my name for some reason was flagged with I think it was just my birth date, even not even my name. Somebody who had done something wrong had the same birth date as me, so I had to go now to the police station and have my fingerprints taken. And I tried to do that, and they had this really expensive computerized machine, and I put my fingerprints down or my hands down, and they couldn't find my fingerprints. The machine couldn't find them, and so I thought there would be like a more expensive machine, but the guy turned and he pulled back these rubber gloves and he says, you have to go home and sleep with these for 2 nights with your hands covered in lotion. And I thought, I'm not doing it. And so I thought, there's got to be a better way than this, that with all this technology today, that they could certainly do that. So I decided to make a video again. I like trilogies. So I made what I call a three-part micro-series docudrama, two-minute segments that take a ridiculous situation and make it more ridiculous with my response to it.
What happened with this video so far?
Well, this is a kind of a good lesson too, is that United Breaks Guitars went crazy, right? It was the number one music video in the world for the whole month of July in 2009, and millions of people watched it. But this last video I did, it's got a couple thousand hits, I think. But instantly the police station called, and the school called, and I reached the people I needed to reach with the message. And I had a lot of fun doing it. My wife did some acting in this trilogy, and we had a real laugh doing it. And it's one of these things that you get really frustrated, or you can do something about it and turn it around in a way that makes it funny. And so I still have to get my fingerprints done, but I'm pretty confident I won't have to wear the gloves to do it. So success.
So I guess after the United incident, they didn't want you to reach million hits before they could reach you.
I don't know if that one was ever going to get 2 million or whatever, but I had fun making it anyway.
So, we didn't talk about your music. You want to talk about that a bit?
Again, United Breaks Guitars was really great for my career, but it's funny that people that only know that or are introduced by that think that's the type of music I've done for my whole life. And that's kind of the quirkiest song I've ever released. I've been a full-time musician with my brother Don for 25 years, and I've got two solo CDs that have songs that have nothing to do with customer service. And I consider myself a songwriter. I love writing songs and performing them. That's kind of way I've always seen myself. And I love taking the essence of a message and putting it into music. And so in addition to all the CDs and touring we've done, one of the things I like to do most, which I'm actually doing here today in my studio, is recording songs that I've written for companies to bring out the essence of who they are. Because sometimes when you combine music and lyrics, you can say more in 3.5 minutes than a CEO or anybody in a business could say in 2 days, and people would fall asleep in the process. So if you as a songwriter, I like to get to the heart of what makes a company that I respect tick and share it with people in a creative way.
That's cool. I really admire this. And what I was seeing in this whole in your story and everything, that really the ability to take your passion and using it for what you do and to deliver your message. And I think your case demonstrates that when you do it, the results are phenomenal.
Yeah, well, and that's what I tell people as well. A lot of people have said, can you write a song for me and to help me? But I pretty much exclusively say that I can't do it. I can't write a song for you because it wouldn't sound authentic, me singing using your voice. But I said, there are things that you can do, and choose the things that never feel like work for you. For me, I write songs because I like to do it. So the whole process to me was fun, and you can see how it was fun on the day of the video, but it was successful for me every step along the way. If nobody ever watched it, I would not have regretted writing any one of those songs or hanging out with my friends and making the videos, because it was fun. So I've had people suggest I write a song for them, and I say, well, what do you do for a living, or what do you do for fun? And one guy had lost his bicycle on a tour for Europe, and an airline damaged his bicycle. And I said, what do you do? And he said, I'm a roboticist. And I said, well, why don't you make a small robot lifting up a small bike and smashing it with the name of the airline on the side and stuff like that. And I don't know if he ever did it, but he got really jazzed. He stopped being really angry, and he's like, oh, that could be really cool. And his passion was coming out. And that's my advice to people. Do it. What never feels like work, and express yourself creatively.
Okay. And you also have a book, right, Dave?
I do. I'd never really written anything outside of music before. And thanks to this video, Hay House Publishing published my book on United Breaks Guitars, and I gave the sort of the whole unvarnished truth of what happened in there and some of my insights and backstory, and it was a really good experience.
So the book is about the experience, or it has more like lessons, or what's the content?
Yeah, I guess sort of the backstory of who I was, musicians, how it is that I came to pick that guitar, and how it got broken, what it was like to be in a media frenzy when you're not prepared and trained to handle media like that, and then some of the higher lessons. It went very much as a me just sort of experiencing it with everybody else, to sort of having a deeper awareness and seeing that Harvard University does a case study on this every year, and all these books have been written that talk about United Breaks Guitars, because it's more than just like a phenomenon that lasted a week. It sort of was a groundbreaking thing at a very important time in history when social media was really coming on to something significant. I just happened to be doing my thing at that time. And so I've learned a lot, and try and share some of what I learned in the book.
Yeah. So that's really cool. I guess you didn't flew United since, right?
Actually, I've flown United a lot. they're a Star Alliance company, and so is Air Canada. So if I want to continue to build the rewards, I fly with United. And I guess my thinking is that if something ever bad happened to my guitar, again, I've got a phone number. I think I could get better service than I could with American Airlines or something. So,
yeah. So they're probably much more caution today with you than before, do they?
I know that they're listening, but to social media, but that I don't get any treatment different than anybody else in real terms. But the day, you probably remember that there was United and Continental, and they merged. And when Continental and United merged, I was flying with Continental. I had a Continental ticket that day. So essentially it was my first time flying with United in quite a while. So I went on to Facebook and I said, I'm flying with United tomorrow morning in just 4 hours, and I'm sure everything will be okay. And I went to the airport at 6 in the morning, and I checked in without issue. And when I got through to security, somebody came up and said, "You're Dave Carroll, right?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" They said, "Well, because I was behind you when you were checking in. And as soon as you were through, a manager came up, and the woman at the wicket said, 'Don't worry, I was nice to him.'" So they knew I was coming that day. But they've been very good. I've had very good experiences on many of the flights I've had with United. So maybe they're getting a little better. Who knows?
Wow. So Dave, this was really great. By the way, we get some comments that people love your guitars on the wall there.
Yeah, keep them safe there.
So the famous United broken guitar is fixed now? Is she okay?
Yeah, well, that's where I got the $1,200. It cost $1,200 to fix it. And so that's what I had asked United in flight vouchers, and that's what they said I would never get. But it's not on that wall, but it's in those.
I guess from the story, she's it's probably worth more than the she was before, isn't she?
I would guess. I don't know. But I'm not interested in getting rid of it anytime soon. But
I would imagine. Yeah. So Dave, again, this was a great time with you. I really enjoyed it. You know, any final thoughts? Anything else you want to share with us?
Well, what I'm working on is the expansion. People say, "Well, what happens after it's been 6 years? Where does United Breaks Guitars go from here?" And one of the biggest takeaways I had with the video is this idea that you and I and everybody in the world is very much connected with one another. And what does that mean? And for businesses and companies, I think this idea of understanding and accepting that you are connected with your suppliers and your customers and everybody else makes it incumbent upon you to find a solution. So there's those companies like Flamingo that are pulling in technologies that allow companies to connect. But ultimately, I think companies need to have more compassion in their organization. So I call that compassionate design. And the companies of tomorrow, I think, will recognize that we're all connected, and that the only way to really pull that off as a business without being inauthentic is to have compassion as part of the DNA of your company. So that caring and having products that help people and make the world a better place is the business model that you're getting into for those reasons. And if you don't have compassion as part of your business, then you're just going to be irrelevant, because I think more companies will have it. And if I had the choice and you had the choice, all things being equal, I want to deal with a company that's thinking of me and other people ahead of themselves.
Great. So Dave, thanks again. It was a real pleasure. Thank you for your time and for this opportunity.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. Take care.
Thank you.
I'll see you maybe when I come to Israel next time.
We'll be glad to. Bye-bye.
Bye.
זהו, עד כאן לפרק של היום. אם אהבתם את הפרק, אל תשכחו לדרג את הפודקאסט שלנו ב-iTunes, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, סטיצ'ר, סאונד קלאוד, יוטיוב, ובכל פלטפורמה אחרת שדרכה אתם מאזינים לנו כרגע. תוכלו למצוא באתר הפודקאסט, כסף-טוב.biz, את כל הכישורים הרלוונטיים לפרק הזה. שם גם תוכלו להירשם לפודקאסט, ואנחנו נשלח לכם תזכורת בכל פעם שאנחנו מעלים פרק חדש. נרשמים באתר כסף-טוב.biz. אני מזמין אתכם לכתוב לי תגובות, מה אהבתם, את מי תרצו לשמוע בפרקים הבאים, או כל הערה אחרת שיש לכם. מוזמנים לשלוח לי ישירות למייל aran@kesef-tov.biz או בפייסבוק שלי facebook.com/aranfanpage. וחבר'ה, אל תהיו קמצנים, שתפו עם החברים שלכם. מה, לא מגיע להם גם ליהנות ולהפיק ערך? אני אירן שטרן, שמח שהזנתם לנו, ונשתמע בפרק הבא.